Good morning. Welcome to Christ Church Uniting. I am Reverend Brittany Alexander, interim minister here at CCU. Thank you for joining us today. I am delighted that you have decided to join us, whether in person or online at home, wherever you may be. Thank you for being with us today. And now, as we begin, I light a candle, a symbol of light and love in you and me, that brings us together even when we are apart. And now join me in an attitude of prayer and contemplation as I bring to you the modern Beatitudes from Reverend Anna Bladel. Blessed are you who are raging. Blessed are you who are mourning. Blessed are you who feel numb. Blessed are you who feel sick and tired and sick and tired. Blessed are you who refuse to turn away. Blessed are you who need to turn away. Blessed are you who keep breathing deep. Blessed are you who are tending to your own needs. Blessed are you who are tending to the needs of another. Blessed are you who have been calling, who have been organizing, who have been testifying, who have been hearing, who have been resisting. Blessed are you who feel broken open beyond repair. Blessed are you who are raw beyond words. Blessed are you who are working hotlines and crisis care centers and bearing witness to the forces of violence and trauma unleashed and unloosed. Blessed are you who are marching, who are weeping. Blessed are you who preach and know that divinity resides in despised, abused, and violated flesh. Blessed are you who know deep in your bones that you are good and beautiful and beloved and sacred and worthy and believed and held and capable of healing beyond your wildest imagination. Blessed are you who remind others that they are good and beautiful and beloved and sacred and worthy and believed and held and capable of healing beyond their wildest imagination. Blessed are we when we dare to dream of a world without sexual violence, without white supremacy, without misogyny, without police brutality, without anti-trans and anti-queer violence. Blessed are we when we stay tender. Blessed are we when we stay fierce. Blessed are we when we dare to imagine repair and transformation. Blessed are we when we labor together to make it so. Amen and amen. And now I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another. This may be a peace sign, a wave of joy. Online, that might look like a dove or a peace emoji. Please share the peace of Christ with one another this morning. Amen. And now let us join our hearts and voices in our opening hymn.
Expressions on each finger. friends, and welcome back to our special worship space. I'm going to put my stole on. Maybe you can grab your special things at home. We're going to do a story today from our Quaker friends. Sometimes we learn wonderful stories from the Bible, and sometimes we learn from others in our community about beautiful lessons to learn. I'm going to look inside what looks to be a gift, kind of a present. And I think I should put this down first, and then I've got what's kind of like a green pie. Let's see if I can get these pieces in the right spot. That looks pretty good. This is a story about the gift, not the ones that are all fancy and packaged, but the gift that God gives each of us when we're born, maybe more than one gift, but it's something special inside that's unique to you. And today we're going to explore how a community comes together, and there's people that bring their special gifts. Got these little shapes that kind of look like people. And this one has a gift of welcome. Ever around those kind of people, they just say, hey, come on, join in. Be a part of our gathering, our game, our meal. This is a gift of welcome. And then we've got people that maybe have the gift of service. You ever know those people? They're always like fussing around in the kitchen or building something, fixing something. That's their way of showing their gift, is they really serve others and serve the community. And then here's another little being. This one has a gift of questions. You know those people that just, they come up with ideas and thoughts and make you think about things that you might not have otherwise thought of? I think our church has a lot of good questioners. And then maybe we've got someone that's super gifted with music. That's a fun gift to share in the community, right? And you know what? Sometimes some of us aren't quite so sure what our gift is. And that's okay. It's okay to question and wonder and wait. And sometimes when we come to the community, it helps us to learn what our gift is. This one here wasn't so sure that they had a gift. But this community came together and they discovered that this person's gift was of laughter and lightness and playing games that were peaceful instead of competitive. So even if you're not quite sure what your gift is right away, I encourage you to be a part of a community and learn and share gifts with each other. Let's pray. Dear loving and creative God, thank you for this special story where we can explore what our gifts are in the community and how we can welcome and serve and ask questions and create music and also just be and to just wonder and to be open to learning what our gifts are. I hope you have a fantastic week. Aloha.
Good morning. Welcome to this beautiful day in this house of love. Our scripture reading is from Luke 6, 17 through 26. Listen to these words of scripture and in them the Spirit's word to you. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed of you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Join me in prayer. Holy God, as we continue our worship through the word, may our hearts and minds be open to what the Spirit would say. Amen. Today and next week, we are looking at excerpts from what Bible scholars call the Sermon on the Plain. You may be more familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, which comes out of Matthew's Gospel. And in Matthew, the story goes something like this. Jesus calls fishermen to become disciples. And after calling of the fishermen, Jesus heals the sick throughout the region of Galilee. As Jesus is healing, a large crowd begins to follow him, and Jesus takes one look at this growing crowd and decides to make his way up a nearby mountain. His disciples follow him, and after finding a nice place to sit, Jesus begins his Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are first. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And so on. That's Matthew. Luke's Sermon on the Plain differs rather curiously from Matthew's account. After the call of Simon, James, and John, Luke introduces a series of stories in which Jesus performs more miracles, and calls additional disciples. More people witness healings and miracles. More people begin to follow Jesus. While healing and gathering his disciples, Jesus regularly goes to a mountainside to pray. And on one particular night, Jesus spends the entire night in quiet reflection, in prayer. And the next morning, he gathers all of his disciples, and there are a lot of them at this point. Jesus went from three fishermen following him around to what is now a great crowd. And from this great crowd, Jesus selects 12 disciples and sets them apart as apostles. With the 12 selected, the entire group of disciples is joined by a great multitude. People from the region who are gathering to hear Jesus speak and to be healed. Luke makes a point to say that Jesus comes down with them to a level place. This is not a pyramid set up with the disciples and Jesus above the crowds. Jesus is right there in the midst of the disciples and the multitude of people who have showed up to be healed. These are people who are beyond the aid of the current system, who have diseases which may carry social stigma, and just to be around or near some of them would be taboo. And yet Jesus and his disciples are there on level ground among the diseased and the stigmatized. As Jesus heals the last of those in the crowd, he looks upon his disciples and proceeds with the blessings and the woes. Both Matthew and Luke make a point to say that it is the disciples who are on the receiving end of Jesus' words. Jesus does not say these things to the multitude. He says these things to the ones who have been set apart, who have said they want to be like Jesus, to aid Jesus in his work. From the 12 apostles right over to the gal that joined up yesterday, they too are on a level plane. Their ministry is just beginning. And Jesus says to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who weep, who are hated. Woe to you who are rich, who are full, who are laughing now, who are well liked." That's a little different from Matthew's version. Matthew's Jesus gives us beatitudes that are more theological. In some places, Matthew's words are downright esoteric. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart. Luke doesn't have time for esoteric language. Luke's words are tangible, embodied, no nonsense, right to the point. The sermon on the plain is real talk for a group of leaders who have no idea what they're getting into. Luke's Jesus begins with the blessings and the woes because it is a crucial reorientation that is necessary for understanding the assignment. Blessed are you if you are suffering under the current system. Blessed are you who are systematically disregarded by society because things are going to change. Blessed are you because you know intimately how and where the change is needed. The kingdom vision is going to turn it all upside down. What is valued in the current system is not valued in the divine system. People are going to be confused when you do not abide by the established value system. People are going to be triggered and angry when you start demanding a new way, a way of equity and compassion. But we will persevere. The reward will be great. Woe to you who have benefited from the current system. Woe to you because all you have come to understand about the way things work in the world is going to be dismantled. Woe to you because what you have had going is pretty great, and things are going to change. Woe to you because it is going to be so very hard to give up the physical and mental comfort that you have come to know. Jesus also talks about a great reward in heaven for those who live by the divine system. What is that? There's a lot of talk out there about what reward in heaven means. Much of that is informed by specific interpretations of Paul and the book of Revelation. Some of it is just extra biblical lore altogether. But in general, most of it is very literal. There's talk of reward in the form of crowns encrusted with jewels. There's talk of reward in the form of earning eternal life by doing all the right things. There's talk of reward in the form of getting the fanciest room in heaven. I don't know what that would look like, but that's an interesting idea. And the list goes on. But I don't think that Luke is referring to any of that. Luke uses the Greek word misthas, what we read as reward. Misthas suggests reward in the way that fruit is a natural reward of attention to and tending of the earth. The reward is the result of the weeding and the watering and the fertilizing, which yields sustenance. You can know next to nothing about agriculture and know that the reward is not for yourself alone. When it is avocado season, mango season, papaya season, bags of these fruits will just appear from your friends, your aunties, your uncles. When it is time to harvest, there is too much for any one person. Fruit is meant to be given away. That is what nature intended. The word misthas does all kinds of work for our imaginations. It is a literal reference to physical and embodied reality of tending plants that will bear sustenance for everyone. Luke's Jesus uses this word in the context that suggests that the divine system means fruit for all, not just the people that own the trees. The reward is also in heaven. Heaven, which can be understood as that spiritual and inner plane where we do our inner work, where we commune with that which is greater than ourselves, where we reorient toward the figurative weeding and watering and fertilizing of our inner selves that naturally results in growth, where we resolve to make conscious choices to enact the divine system of justice and equity and compassion in the real world, in the world here and now, where we root in and hold fast in the midst of disorientation, knowing that the ground will settle underfoot once again. The fruits we experience from this inner place become actions that we take to grow real and sustaining fruit for the world. Fruit in the form of healthcare, fruit in the form of affordable housing, of welfare expansion, of prison reform, and even literal, actual fruit for empty, hungry bellies. Reward in heaven becomes heaven on earth. For those who would seek to be set apart, to be like Jesus, this is the assignment. It is not just standing around on a plane and watching miracles or sitting in a church pew quietly believing all the things that we think we're supposed to believe. The assignment is action. It means all the literal and figurative work necessary to yield fruit for the self and fruit for the world. May the seeds of heaven on earth be planted in us today. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we are before you today a fallible people, but an eager people, a people that desire to do good work in this world. We recognize that there are ways that we have failed to co-conspire with our siblings in order to work for the good of others and the good of self. For this we ask forgiveness. that we might breathe out our guilt, dust ourselves off, and try again. May we continue to awaken to ways that we can better love ourselves, love others, and love our planet. We remember and pray for those who grieve physical and mental challenges, who grieve loss of loved ones, loss of familiarity or comfort. We ask that they would be held in your loving embrace. And now, as we pray, as we have been taught with the confidence of the children of God, held in love and in grace, I invite you to use a name for God that feels right to you. This might be Father, Mother, Creator, Divine, or perhaps there is another name of your choosing. I invite you to use it now as we pray. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to this table of welcome, we remember that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken for you." And in the same way, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he poured it out and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you. And as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim my love in the world." Children of God, the table is set for you. Take and eat. At this time, I would invite you to consider how you might contribute to the life and work of CCU. These may be gifts of service. These may be gifts of time or energy. This may be flowers, like these beautiful ones here behind me. These may be monetary gifts that you provide to CCU. And a link is available for you to donate either flowers or monetary gifts online. However you choose to serve this community, you help us do our work and ministry in this world, and we thank you for that. And now, let us stand and sing our doxology. May be seated. As our time of worship together comes to a close, we do have a few announcements today. First, we'd like to thank the Heidel Ohana for our beautiful flowers today. They are in memory of daughter-in-law Lillian Venezia Heidel, as well as Hope Staub, a Punahou colleague. The flowers are also in celebration of Marion's sister, Dorothy, who is 95 years young. So, amen to those flowers and in their memory. Second item, as many of you are probably aware by now, we did postpone our Vespers on the Lanai this past Friday due to COVID-related reasons, but we have rescheduled that event for March 11th at 7 p.m. It will be the same duo, Soonhui on Eru, and accompanied by Pierre Grill on piano, so that will be on the 11th of March at 7 p.m. Additionally, if you have any prayer concerns or ministry needs, we want to hear about them. We want to support you and pray with you in whatever way that we can. Grab a deacon, grab an elder, tell them what's on your heart. You can also email us at prayers@ccukailua.org. We want to be in prayer and support of you. Please let us know how we can do that. One final item, I believe, is, yes, our congregational meeting. It's happening. It's taking place next Sunday at 11:15 a.m. If you are a voting member, you are highly encouraged to be there. And if you are not a voting member and just are curious about what that's all about, you are also welcome to join us. And I think those are the announcements. So with that, let us join our hearts and voices one final time in our closing hymn. We have indeed been blessed by the gift of music in this place. Amen. Thank you, both of you. Louise last week was wonderful. Paul today, thank you. And with that, beloved, may the light of Christ dwell in you richly. May you feel the warmth of connection in knowing that as one body in Christ, we are united. We do not go alone. Go in the grace and peace of Christ. Amen.